you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
Today on the 49ers Insider Podcast, we check in with Antoine Bethea, an 11-year pro in his third season with the 49ers. He was a three-time Pro Bowl selection, and he was the Bill Walsh Award winner in 2014 after coming over from the Indianapolis Colts. Antoine Bethea went to a small school, Howard University in D.C., and he's worked his way up into a very significant NFL career. We'll talk about the disappointments of this season for the 49ers, what he's going to remember most about this year, and what the team has to do moving forward. Antoine Bethea coming up right now on the 49ers Insider Podcast. Antoine, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So you're in high school, and you aren't heavily recruited coming out of high school. You're a small guy. What were you, around 5'10"?
I probably wasn't 5'10 at the time. I would say probably like 5'8, 5'9, $1.65, $1.70.
You were actually an inside linebacker before you went to Howard University and moved to defensive back. And now the 49ers get into that game in Atlanta where you only had two inside linebackers active for the game. Nick Ballore gets injured, and you volunteer to play inside linebacker. Did that take you back to your high school days?
Yeah, it did. You know, a lot of people ask me when was the last time I played middle linebacker. And, you know, obviously it was my middle school days, and you know, not middle school days, but my high school days. And, you know, that's when, you know, that was a great time.
So what was that like? I mean, you obviously have never played inside linebacker or been forced in that situation. That's kind of selfless of a guy to, you know, 11-year veteran to just say, hey, put me in a position that I've never played at the NFL level.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it's all about. You know, for me, you know, like you said, 11 years, you know, I've seen a lot. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm a team guy. You know, I'm a team guy first. And, you know, at that time, I see that, you know, I saw that we needed that. So, and I would rather myself be put in a stressful situation rather than the younger guys. So that's why when the coach said, hey, put me in. And, you know, just knowing the defense, you know, I knew some of the most of the things that the middle linebackers had to do. But then, you know, as a D coordinator, you know, J.O. was put in a tough situation. And even myself, you know, being inside, you know, I get down, and as a safety, you know, I get down and do things. But, you know, being in that middle, man, it's definitely a different beast when those linemen are getting up on you quick. But at the end of the day, man, like I said, I'm a team player, team first, and, you know, I would do it again if I needed to.
With so many young guys on the team, are you also setting an example that they can, you know, to be accountable, to step up when the team needs you? I mean, I don't know if that's going through your mind at the time.
For sure, because at the end of the day, you know, the younger guys, whether they say it or not, they are looking at the older guys. They're looking at the older guys for a vision of how to be a pro. And, you know, one thing I did that, and, you know, just to let the other guys know, regardless of what the season is, how the season is going, you know, we're still a team, we're still a family, and leaders have to step up in different situations.
You went to college at Howard University,
yep.
Obviously not a traditional football power. Yep. How did you end up at Howard?
Like I said, in high school, I really wasn't recruited, heavily recruited. You know, a lot of small schools, and you know, some schools around the Virginia area that was recruiting me, and the head coach that at Howard University that year, he was actually a D coordinator at Norfolk State, and he was recruiting me at Norfolk State, and he ended up getting the head coaching job at Howard. He actually came to my high school and hired my head coach at my high school as an offensive coordinator. And at the time, you know, he asked me if I would be willing to take a visit. I said, yeah. On my visit, he said, you know, all the, you know, the full rides were gone. He had a little bit of money for me. And, you know, I took the partial scholarship to Howard and see how it would work out for me. And, you know, my second year, I was able to get a full ride, and the rest is history.
Did you know much about Howard University before you got there?
I know a little bit of it. Being in the Virginia area, they so Howard is a historically black college and university. You know, we call it HBCUs. And in my area of Virginia, you know, it's a lot of HBCUs in that area. So even though it was only 2.5 hours north, I didn't know a lot about it, but I did know some about the school. But when I went on campus and you know, really started doing research about the university and the type of people that have walked through that campus and the type of education that you would get there, man. And I had a blast when I went on my visit, man. And, you know, I took a chance, man, and it was the best 4 years of my life.
Well, yeah. What was the advantage of it for you to go to a historically black college?
Well, it wasn't at the time. It wasn't really, you know, the advantage of me going to a historically black college. It was an opportunity for me. You know, the opportunity for me. And once I got there, I realized that, you know, that setting, it fit me well. As far as the classrooms, it wasn't classrooms were like a high school classroom. You know, you would have some classes where you would have, you know, 100 some people, but most of the classroom settings were 20, 25 people. So as far as, you know, one-on-one with the teacher, it was pretty good. The ratio was great. As far as myself, developing as a football player, I think it paid dividends. You know, my DB coach at the time, Coach Ron Bolton, he played 11 years in the league. You know, I had never really played DB. You know, I tell people that a lot, and they was like, well, you was only 160 pounds, you know, but just the way it worked, you know, I would play linebacker mostly throughout, you know, all my football. So even my development as a DB and having Coach Bowen, it paid dividends. And just to like people around me, I just think it helped me settle in and just become, helped me find out who I was as a person.
You called it the best 4 years of your life.
Yeah.
And why? Just because you were able to kind of make it on your own?
Exactly. Make it on my own. I met my wife there. Just the friends and just the things that, you know, I went through there, you know, as a young man, the things that I've learned about myself, about history, and even the football aspect, not having a lot, the program not having a lot, it just taught me to appreciate a lot of things. Whereas, you know, I had to, you know, with a little extra bit of money, I would have to go buy my own gloves or this or whatever the case may be, or taking a 13-hour bus trip to Savannah, Georgia, to play Savannah State. So those little things where now you come to the league, you're not taking anything for granted. You know, coming from a small school, you're not taking anything for granted. Not saying the guys that come from the big schools do, but it's definitely a difference, and I appreciate that.
And, I mean, one of the things that you've done since you've been in the league is you've been tremendous off the field and the community, and you just you're just a target, right,
yeah,
with how many families?
10 families.
And so is that part of the this? That's not part of the Safe Coverage Foundation.
Well, I mean,
or is that?
It blends in together. You know, whatever I do off the field, you know, is under my umbrella of Safe Coverage Foundation. Even though, you know, I have a mission statement with my Safe Coverage Foundation, but at the end of the day, my goal is to give out a helping hand to whoever needs it. Obviously, my mission statement for Safe Coverage is to, you know, to help, you know, further the continuing education of the inner city kids. But at the end of the day, I just want to give a helping hand to anybody who needs it, whether it's a male child, female, whatever kind of circumstance you in. As the founder and creator of Safe Coverage, man, I just want to, you know, I just want to give back to the community.
And that's you're providing access and resources to achieve to youth to achieve the dreams of higher education.
Yeah, exactly.
And you take college visits.
Yeah,
with these kids.
So I didn't do it last year, but you know, in the past, I've taken I normally take about 40 kids from the Newport News area, from the public school area, and just take them on college visits. I take them to Howard. We've been to Georgetown, George Mason, and just different schools, and just see, let them see that it's definitely opportunities outside the norm for them. You know, a lot of times the kids in the city, and it's crazy to say it, but you know, they don't leave out of Newport News, Virginia, and just to let them know how many colleges and university is outside of Newport News, even an hour up the road. And you know, a lot of times, you know, as a child, you can't really visualize something if you don't see it. So for me, you know, just take them and let them know that, you know, I was a kid in your shoes, in the same halls, walked the same halls as you guys did, and it's definitely a chance for you to do the same.
And were you kind of the same way? You didn't really venture out of Newport News as a kid?
No, I can't say that. You know, my mom and dad being from South Carolina, you know, we would travel to South Carolina to visit families. And then, you know, I was in programs in high school that took us on college trips. So I was able to see that. But, you know, for some kids, they don't have that. And, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to give that service.
And you were a criminal justice major.
Yep.
And then what's interesting is during the lockout, that's when you completed your degree.
Yep.
So what did you envision using that degree for? And now, you know, you've gone back and you've gotten your degree after you'd been in the league a while. How do you envision your post-football career playing?
Well, when I thought about, you know, the criminal justice, you know, I watch the shows like Law and Order, and those things interest me, you know, just learning about the law, just learning about just the history of the law and how it affects different communities and neighborhoods and how it affects people. So that was definitely an interest for me. I would say that, you know, if football wouldn't work out, I was thinking about just staying in the sports realm and, you know, possibly become a sports agent. But, you know, the football thing worked out well for me. You know, I'm thinking about going back to school now and get my master's in business, because definitely, you know, after football, I see myself as an entrepreneur, getting to, you know, I have a few businesses now, and definitely, you know, dive into that. And, you know, hopefully I won't have to work too hard, you know, being smart with my money doing it throughout the 11 years that I've played so far. But obviously, you know, having a second career is something important.
With that background at Howard and your degree, you know, so much early with this season, and it still continues today, was, you know, Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. and the protest. And did that kind of strike close to home, knowing what he was trying to get across? And how did it impact you, and how do you think it impacted the team?
I would say it did hit close home. It hit close home for me just because I'm an African American, and we go through those problems. It's tough. First of all, I would say I commend Cap for taking that stand. It was very, it's very a remarkable thing if you ask me, for what he took the stand for. And I think a lot of times people don't really sit back and really try to understand why he did it. Again, you know, traveling and being on the team, you know, you hear people when he is taking a knee during the national anthem, you hear a lot of fans saying some different things. But I would really would say, like, if they really, really cared and really sat down and really dove into the situation, I'm not gonna say everybody will see it, but I mean, it's really a serious cause. He's not saying that he doesn't love America. He's not saying that he doesn't support the troops. He's saying that in that song, we're saying one thing, but the actions that's happening in this world is completely different, and it's the truth. If you watch the news, and seeing some of these videos that's coming out, like, that's not what the national anthem is saying, you know. Mm-hmm. And I commend him for that. But then I commend other people for having their opinions as well. So like I said, as far as me, being a young black man in America, of course that touches home. And I'll be lying if I said it didn't. And as far as how it affected the team, you know, when it first came out, you know, it was some probably some guys on straddling the fence or on on opposite sides. But at the end of the day, I think we did a good job as a team, nipping it in the bud at the beginning. You know, we came together as a team. We had, you know, Cap, he spoke to the team, and he explained why he was doing that. And he also explained that if anybody didn't agree or agreed or wanted to come talk to him, they, you know, feel free to do that. A couple of guys did that. And I think as far as the team-wise, I think we were past that after that. Now, as far as the outsiders, of course, they had a lot to say about it, but I think we handled it well as a team.
Well, when you look back on this season, what do you think you remember most? Do you think you'll remember the season that didn't go the way everybody had hoped it would inside that locker room? Or do you think you remember kind of the controversy and how this kind of sparked the national debate?
It'll be both. And that's the honest truth. I think what Cap did, it will be talked about for years to come. You know, NFL player, you know, using his platform for what he wanted to use it for. And also, you know, again, right now we're 2-13. So whatever our record would be, you know, that would be the talk about it. That would be the talk of the year as well. So I think it will definitely be both.
Did you realize how lucky you had it when you broke in as a rookie? You know, the 207th overall pick, and you end up that rookie season with a Super Bowl ring?
Man, you know, I thought it was going the way that season went, I thought I was going to end up with 4 or 5 Super Bowl rings, you know. It was just a blessing. You know, like you said, 207 pick in the 6th round. And I remember like yesterday, you know, starting OTAs, I was the seventh safety on the depth chart. And then, you know, come game one, I'm starting. And, you know, February of 2007, you know, I'm a Super Bowl champ. So, you know, it went fast. And at the time, I really don't think I appreciated being a Super Bowl champ as much as I do now, especially going through seasons like this. It's very tough to win in this league. It's very tough to get to that final game and actually win it. You know, I've been blessed to play in 2 Super Bowls, won one, lost one. But it's some of the great Hall of Famers that, you know, can't say they have a Super Bowl ring. So I'm definitely honored and blessed to be in that family and be in that company.
Yeah, so 2 Super Bowl appearances with the Colts. Yep. As you said, you won one. The second one, you lost to New Orleans.
Right.
But then you also had a really bad season with the Colts.
Yeah.
2011, you guys go 2-14. So
yeah.
What's the, you know, how'd that 2-14 feel compared to, you know, right now where the 49ers are?
They both suck.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good feeling when you put the work in, when you put the time in. And at the end of the day, it's all about wins or losses. You know, you play the game to win. And when you put the work in, when you study, and you don't get the results that you want, it hurts. You know, and that's how I felt. It felt like that. And when I was with Indy, and it feels the same way now. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to be a pro. And throughout whatever type of season you have, you always want to pull some positives from it. And I think we did that when I was in Indy. And after Sunday's game, you know, you get some time to sit back and reflect on the season. You'll pull some positives out of this season as well.
And you signed with the 49ers in 2014, and immediately you won the Bill Walsh Award for the team MVP. And that was a great season you had from an individual standpoint. But could you even at that point see where the roster composition, you know, that there were going to be changes in that this team might be taking a dip?
Well, I actually couldn't see that. Because that's the reason why I signed with the Niners, because I just knew what type of organization, what type of team they had. You know, they had great players here, leaders, Frank, Vernon, Justin Smith, Ray, Crabb. You know, they had a good core of guys, and, you know, P. Willie, Navarro. So I wanted to be a part of that. And my whole thing was, you know, wanted to go to a team that was a contender. And, you know, that first year, you know, we went 500, 8-8. And at that time, I couldn't say that. I could see the changes that were going to happen. But it was some big changes that hit us hard. And, you know, we are where we are now. No excuses. We still have a lot of talent in the locker room now. I just think it's a situation where, you know, we got to – this team just has to get back to that point where you know, you got to learn how to win.
And I mean, there are going to be changes. I mean, everybody knows that. Do you kind of feel like, I mean, do you kind of look at it and think in your own mind what has to happen for the 49ers to get back into that contender mode?
Oh yeah, of course. I'm a part of this organization, and nobody wants to be in a situation where, you know, they're, you know, 5-11, 2-14, or 3-13. Like those are long seasons. You know, it makes it tough to come to work. So of course you sit down and say, okay, what can first you look in the mirror and say, what can I do better to help this team to get back to the glory days? And of course, you know, it's going to be other things that happens, you know, throughout the off season. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't have any control. Personally, I don't have any control over that. All I have control of is what I can do. So,
and what can you do? You know, what does the future hold for you? And at what point in your career, with a guy who has unlimited potential off the field, do you start to talk to your family about, you know, maybe it's time to move on? Like, have you had those discussions yet? And I mean, you obviously feel like you still have a lot of good football ahead of you.
Yeah, I still feel as though I have good football left in front of me. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to evaluate everything in life. So, you know, again, after this year, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I could be here. Maybe I'm not here. But, you know, when that time comes, I'll evaluate whatever the situation is. And, of course, I've thought about, you know, life after football. I definitely want to walk away from this game. I want to walk away from this game healthy. And if it ever gets to a point where I'm second-guessing myself or second-guessing my ability, then I'll be fine to hang the cleats up. You know, I have a beautiful family at home. And, you know, like I said, when that time comes, I'm pretty sure it'll come full head of steam. You know, Father Time is undefeated. And like I said, when that time comes, I'll know.
You're leading tackler on this team, so that time isn't
I don't see it anytime, not in the near future. You know, I still feel as though somebody can use my service. You know, whether, you know, like I said, it's here with the Niners or wherever it may be. You know, I still feel as though I can play some good ball.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave you with this. When you look at a football season schedule, is there any city that you really look forward to going to and playing as far as a road trip goes, whether you were with Indy or now with the 49ers?
I can't really say it's a city that, you know, I look forward to, because at the end of the day, man, it's a business trip for us, and we really don't get a lot of time anyway to really enjoy the city. I can tell you some cities that I don't look forward to, and depending on the time of year,
probably Chicago
well. Green Bay in December, you know, yeah. Those type of cities I don't enjoy going to, but those are some historic stadiums, and definitely feels good to, you know, be able to play in those stadiums. But it's not really one city that I can really say jumps out to me and say, oh, I can't wait till we go to that city. Especially, you know, like I said, with the time constraints that we have on the road. So I'm just happy to be able to play in whatever city we're playing in.
Yeah, Antoine Bethea, every year the 49ers media gives out an award to the player most cooperative and professional in dealing with the media. It's called the Gary Niver Award, for a longtime Bay Area reporter who passed away a couple decades ago now. And Antoine Bethea was the winner. So always appreciate your insight.
Yes, sir.
Always appreciate your willingness to stand up in good times, but more importantly, in bad times.
Right,
Antoine, thank you very much for being part of the podcast and all of your, you know, you're a stand-up guy.
I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, a big thanks to Antoine Bethea, a guy who has a lot of promise off the field after his pro football career is over, but as the leading tackler of the 49ers this season, that time doesn't appear to be anytime soon. So Antoine Bethea talking about on the field, talking about off the field, a very good interview subject, and we thank him for his cooperation and professionalism in dealing with the media since he's been a member of the 49ers. And you can listen to all of the 49er Insider podcasts. They're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.